As you guys are getting your sheets, what we're going to start out with tonight is we're going to talk about the false church. There's going to be a false church that rises up. And how many of you know that the true church will follow Jesus all the way? They're not going to sell out on him. That's why the Bible calls the false church a prostitute, because the false church is not going to be faithful to him. The false church is going to be unfaithful to him. We're already watching a lot of things happen. So if you're new here tonight and you're just jumping in, we have gone through the book of Revelation. We're on chapter 18 tonight. Let me give you the skinny to catch you up on what's going on real quick. Revelation chapter 1 gave a bunch of awesome titles about Jesus. Revelation chapter 2 and 3 talked about the churches and what Jesus expects of last day's churches. Revelation 4 and 5 were about heaven. And then Revelation chapter 6, all the way up through Revelation chapter 18, has been about God's judgment upon sin, upon wickedness, upon evil. And there have been many, many times that we have read that God has given people chances and will give people chances to come to faith in him and repent, and they will refuse to do it. So where we're at tonight is Revelation chapter 18, and it's talking about the false church. It's talking about a religion that is going to rise up, and it is going to be anti-Christ. It's not going to have anything to do with Jesus. The agenda, the motives, everything's going to be evil, but it's going to look good on the outside for a while. So how many of you know that's how you can tell the fake stuff over time, is that it looks pretty good, but then you start getting a check mark about different things that you see. And so that's what's going to happen here. But as we do this tonight, this is just called the fall of the great prostitute. God has asked people to be faithful to him. If people are not going to be faithful to God, then that means we're being unfaithful to him. And especially if somebody says, listen, I am going to be religious, but they're not going to honor God or honor Jesus, then it's going to be fake. So when we look at this tonight, it's going to be real interesting to see how our world goes farther and farther away from Jesus Christ. And that's the whole issue. You know, it wasn't Buddha that came and died upon a cross. It wasn't Muhammad. It was Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He came, he died upon the cross. He was the only substitute for all sin, because the Bible says he came, he lived here for 33 and a half years. He lived perfect because he had the power of the Holy Spirit, and because he was God, he had no sin in him. That's what the Bible says. And when he went to the cross, he took all of men's sin upon him so that people could be forgiven. So listen, there's not a human being that can forgive you, all right? Sure, they can say, yes, I know you did me wrong. I forgive you for what you did. That's not what I'm talking about. Forgiveness only comes from Jesus Christ. So as we look at this tonight, Revelation chapter 18, we're going to talk about the judgment that is going to come upon the false church. Now, you would go, what is the false church? The false church is not going to honor Jesus Christ. They might say that they do, but their actions will not honor Jesus whatsoever. And that's the thing about false religions right now. If you look at false religions, they have parts of the Bible, but then they've written their own stuff. And the Bible is very clear in the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, in the book of Revelation in the New. Do not add to or take away from this book. That's what the Bible says. So let me recap real quick why we even started with this book. Some of you may go, why in the world have you spent a year in this book? Because Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed is the person that reads this book to the congregation. Blessed is the person who hears this book. And then blessed are the people who apply it and keep this book, because the time is coming near. So those three things right there, as we were looking as a church, why did we jump into the book of Revelation? Because we want to be blessed. The Bible says you need to know the Bible and you need to understand it. So how many would say it has been a pretty awesome journey this last year so far, coming all the way through this thing? It's been really interesting. And so here we go. Revelation chapter 18 tonight. I will try to explain as we go through some of the different things that's going on. But Revelation chapter 18 verse 1, as we look at this, let's read this verse here. After this, it says, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. Now, I'm going to leave these verses up for a moment as I talk about them, Because here's the deal. You might go, what is the big deal about another angel being seen and then is going to come on the earth and then is going to light up the earth? What's the big deal about that? Well, if you remember a couple weeks ago, we read some scripture and prophecy said that one of the judgments that God is going to do upon the earth is plunge the earth into total darkness. And a matter of fact, let's look at that real quick. Revelation chapter 16, verse 10. We already read this a few weeks ago. The Bible says this, and this is another angel. It says, the fifth angel poured out his bowl of judgment on the throne of the Antichrist, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. Men gnawed their tongues in agony. And when you begin to look at that, everything will be chaotic. Now, a lot of people in our world will say, you know what? The Bible is not relevant. The Bible is not real. You know, here's the deal. If you just look at Jesus Christ's life, 110 plus prophecies came to pass before he was ever born. I mean, it's amazing. Everything that was prophesied when he was born, those prophecies all were fulfilled. You can look in the Old Testament before Jesus ever came. The Bible says he would be born of a virgin, that he would be born in Bethlehem. I mean, we could sit here all night long and go over every one of the prophecies that have been fulfilled by Jesus. So here's my point. If he fulfilled already one third of all those prophecies that have been said about him in his first coming, he will fulfill his second coming and he will fulfill all those prophecies. So here's the deal about the book of Revelation that I think I've gotten the most out of is that it has strengthened my faith to say, listen, I don't care what this world brings. I know what the Bible says, and I've got to keep my faith in Jesus Christ and in his word. I'm very thankful tonight that the Bible will forecast and give us things that we know is going to come so that we know what's going to happen. And so as we begin to look at this, this is why when that angel that we just read about in Revelation 18:1, it's going to be total darkness. So back to Revelation 18:1, when this other angel comes on the scene, and he will, because the Bible says he will, he's going to light up the earth. And what's interesting about that is this, and I put it here on your sheet here. It says, with the backdrop of darkness, another angel will appear suddenly and blazing with light and will certainly have the world's attention on him and his message of judgment on Babylon or the false church. So I want you to picture this scene. Everything is completely dark. The Bible says another angel will jump on scene and he will light up the earth with his glory from God. So when you think about that, how many of you would say when everything's totally dark and you see a light that it definitely gets your attention? Sure. I mean, if you're sitting at home at night, you just get in bed and all of a sudden you lay down, you just close your eyes and a light comes through your window and you're like, you know what? There should not be anybody out there that shines a light in my window. That light would get your attention real quick, wouldn't it? It's going to be like this here. I mean, there's going to be so much stuff that's going to be happening on this earth that this the light of God is going to get the attention of everybody once again. And when you begin to look at this, this is really important because supernatural things do happen and will happen. I know we live in a physical world. I know we put on our seatbelts every day. I know we turn the key onto our cars. I know we physically eat. But church, here's the deal. Nobody can escape death. When you die, your soul and your spirit will go somewhere. Okay? Your soul and spirit do not stay with your body because the Bible says that when you die, if you're a Christian, if you're absent from the body, you're present with God. It says you're in heaven with him. And then the Bible says in Luke chapter 16, if you die without Jesus Christ, Luke chapter 16 says that you will be in hell. Luke 16 is very crystal clear. So when you begin to look at this here, supernatural things happen all the time. I mean, people would go, well, I don't believe in heaven. I don't believe in God. I don't believe in hell. Well, let me tell you something. Explain death to me then. Explain how somebody can be alive and their soul and spirit be gone and they're gone forever. I want you to think about that. I mean, when you think about that, there's no stopping that. There's no other explanation of that than what the Bible has. So when you look at this here, why is the false church going to be so bad? You have the true church that honors Jesus, okay? And there's churches all over the nation that love Jesus. There's churches all over the nation that honor Jesus. I'm not talking about saying they love Jesus and then they pray to someone else, okay? Prayer goes to God alone, period, because he's God. And the Bible's very clear on that. Jesus said, when you pray, you need to pray like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, right? Didn't say to Mary. It didn't say you pray to Mary. It doesn't say that you pray to Buddha or Muhammad. It doesn't say that you pray to a priest. It doesn't say you pray to a pastor. It says, when you pray to our Father in heaven. So when you look at that, the true church will stick with the Bible, and the true church will stick with Jesus Christ and honor him. The false church, and we're watching it right now. Last year in 2015, we had six major denominations redefine marriage in their denominations and say marriage is no longer just between a man and a woman. Those six major denominations in our nation today, I have zero respect for. And let me tell you why, because they are not honoring the Bible. Okay? Listen. Homosexual sin is in the same list as adultery. It's in the same list as idolatry. It's in the same list as orgies. It's in the same list as having wild parties, getting drunk. It's in the same list. It's all in there. So here's the deal. Sin is going to be sin. But if sin is forgiven of, then you're right with God. If sin is not repented for, then the only thing that comes with that is judgment. And the church has pinpointed a few sins in our world to say, well, these are worse than others. Well, let me tell you something. As we read through the Bible, you're going to see some examples of certain sins that had really great judgments upon them. But it doesn't mean that all those are way greater than all the others. Any unconfessed sin is only going to bring judgment. And so that's why the church, if you really want to see the true church and who the true church is, they honor Jesus Christ. When they meet together, they honor Jesus with their lives. They don't add to or take away from that. So why will the false church be so bad? Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Let me show you something real quick, because we're watching this right now all over America. I mean, it's disgusting to me to see that church is redefining everything. This Babylon here, Babylon the Great, represents the false church that's going to rise up. It says a second angel. How many of you have already seen already? There's a lot of angels and supernatural things that's going to go on. Okay? And church, here's the deal. You know, the Bible says that angels are ministering spirits. They are sent to help us. They are sent to protect us. Psalm 91 says, listen, I'll put my angels in charge of you. So you think about this. The supernatural realm really is very real. And when you watch this here, the false church is going to be very real. And watch why it's going to be so bad, because the Bible says the false church, okay, which is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her what? Adulteries or fornications. It's what's happening right now that I see in churches all across the nation is sexual, the sin for or the standard for sexual sin is being dropped. That's exactly what the Bible says the false church will begin to do, and the false church will do. And let me tell you something. When you start to drop the bar and you lower the standard, anything goes. Once you lower the bar, you have no say on what goes or what doesn't go anymore. I mean, you have to keep the bar where the bar's at. You have to keep the standard where the standard's at. I always said this about the church. You always write down your strategies in pencil, but the vision always stays in ink. Nothing changes with the Bible. The Bible's the Bible. But you can write down your ideas in pencil on how to do great things for God. You can erase that and then all of a sudden go, this way will work better. You can erase that and say, this way will work better. But you can never erase God's word. God's word is God's word, and it's the standard. And when you look at this, the false church will not stick by God's word. The false church will not follow Jesus. A matter of fact, what they're going to do is their focus and their target is going to be sexual sin. And what's going to happen is, and we're already watching it, America is tolerating anything now. I mean, honestly. I mean, right now, even at the Supreme Court level, there's cases right now since homosexual marriage was passed last year. There are pedophiles right now that have already gone to the Supreme Court saying, if you can give them rights, you can give me right as a pedophile. Anybody know what a pedophile is? A pedophile hurts children sexually. They're a sexual monster and a predator. So, case in point, if you go ahead and lower the bar a little bit, guess what happens? Anything goes. And that's what's going to happen with this false church here. This false church is going to base its motives on sexual sin, and it's going to be unfaithful to God. And when you think about that, that is why God literally is going to have to judge. Listen, if people think that God is a mean God and all he is a God of judgment, they've not read the Bible. God is an amazing God of love. A matter of fact, through the book of Revelation, we have read over and over and over again, how many multiple times, where God said, listen, I'm giving you a chance to repent. If you'll repent, I won't put my judgment on you or my wrath. But if you don't repent, that means you're going to stay unfaithful to me and you're going to be a recipient of that. He literally gives multiple times in the book of Revelation in the future. He will give all kinds of chances. And people still will refuse to repent to him because we're a very selfish nation. And so when you begin to look at it, Revelation chapter 18, verse 2 talks about that this false church will fall. It's not going to stand forever. It will have its time. And church, I promise you this, you need to keep an eye out on this. You will see more and more churches and more pastors. You will see more and more Christians pull away from the Bible, and they will go for anything that they want to believe. I had somebody tell me a couple of months ago, well, you're wrong when you preach because Satan lives in hell. I said, show me one scripture where the Bible says Satan lives in hell. It doesn't say he lives in hell. As a matter of fact, we've gone over this. The Bible says that Satan goes from the earth to heaven, back and forth, and he accuses the believers, the Christians. The Bible says day and night. That's what he does. And when you look at it, we've got to look at what the Bible says, not what we've seen on Looney Tunes, not what we've seen. I mean, honestly, that's where I think a lot of people, we saw a little red devil with a pitchfork and sitting on a throne in hell. Anybody remember all those episodes of Looney Tunes? I mean, honestly, you grow up with that, you're like, oh, that's where the devil's at. No, the Bible says that he is after the Christians. He accuses you and me day and night before God saying, how could they be saved because you know what Jerry did back in the day, or you know what this person did or that person did. And Jesus says, listen, why are you even in our face? I died upon the cross and forgave them, so get out of our presence. I mean, when you think about that, church, Jesus fights for you 24/7. He stands up for you 24/7. So when you look at this here, Revelation chapter 18, verse 2, anything that is false will not last forever. It will fall. Watch what the Bible says here. With a mighty voice, he shouted, and this is that angel again that's going to illuminate the earth in the darkness. He's going to say, fallen. Fallen is the false church or Babylon the Great. And notice it says she, it calls her a prostitute in a few chapters back. She has become a home for what church? Demons. When you look at this here, I mean, when we meet for church, we're honoring God. When we meet for church, we read the Bible. When we meet for church, we say, listen, you know, God, whatever you have got for us today, by your Holy Spirit, help us to understand your word. When we sing songs, we sing to God. Okay, we worship him. What's the false church going to do? It is going to be a home for demons. It's going to be false. It's going to be antichrist. And watch what it says here. It says that this prostitute, this false church, has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit. I want you to see that there. Every evil spirit. Okay? What does that show us? Anything goes. Church, that really scares me right there. That ought to scare you. That ought to make our prayer life skyrocket through the roof. Why is that? Because here's the deal. The true church that honors Jesus is going to stick out like a sore thumb as this false church gets bigger. And what do you think this false church is going to do? It's going to turn on the true church because it's going to hate Jesus. It's called Antichrist. I want you to think about that for a moment. You're part of a movement that says, I honor Jesus alone. And the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, nobody else. You're part of a Christianity is not, well, let me take a little bit of Hinduism and a little bit of Islam. And I mean, we're watching all this happen today where people are taking all these religions and putting them all together. You can't do that. The Bible says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. The Bible says Jesus is salvation. No one else. There's no other name, Acts 4:12. There's no other name under heaven in which men might be saved except for the name of Jesus Christ. So when you look at this here, the false church is going to have every type of evil that you can imagine, and it's going to be under the name religion. And what's interesting is this. It says a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. What does that mean? Well, here's the deal. Birds roost, right? So when a bird roosts, it makes a mess. Anybody ever seen where birds roost and then what they do when they wake up and almost before they go to sleep? They make a mess. There's white puddles and white junk everywhere, okay? Well, that's what this is saying here. It is going to be polluted. Every demon and every evil spirit is going to have access, and not only that, they're going to make their home in this false religion, and literally, it will be the biggest mess you could ever see. I mean, the bird is symbolic here, but what it's saying is, for a haunt for every unclean and detestable bird. It's going to say that literally, it's going to be the sickest thing you could ever see or ever be a part of. And the world is going to love it. Because we're already seeing it right now, tolerance. Everybody says, well, you know what? If you accept me, then I'll accept you. Well, here's what I'm watching with Christianity. Everyone else is saying you need to accept us, and then when it comes to Christianity, they're saying, you know what, we hate what you believe. I mean, I have been told that as a pastor I don't know how many times by people. Say, listen, man, I love you. God created you, but you're going to have to repent of your sins just like I did. Well, who are you to tell me? Well, I'm just saying what the Bible says. Well, I don't care what the Bible says. I mean, it can turn real fast on a Christian. And it's interesting because the world screams tolerance, but the world doesn't want to be tolerant towards Christianity. And so when you look at this here, how many of you can get the picture here? This false religion that is on its way is going to be a mess. It is going to be every kind of evil that you can imagine. Revelation chapter 18, verse 3, I want you to notice a few things here. You go, well, what kind of impact is this big false church going to have? Everywhere. How do we know that? Watch what the Bible says here. For how many of the nations? All, for all the nations have drunk of the maddening wine of her adulteries. So literally, all the nations and their leaders are involved in this religion. They're going to be involved in this. How do we know? The kings of the earth committed adultery with this false church. They're going to be unfaithful to God. And the merchants of the earth grew rich from her excessive luxuries. I mean, what's going to happen is you're going to have all the way from the top kings of all nations all the way down to the merchants and the trading. Everything is going to go through this false religion. And what's amazing about this, is that it's going to be wide open sin and they're not going to care. And that really scares me. Because when you think about that, when you open the floodgate to sin, let me tell you something. Everything comes with that. Everything. And church, when you think about that, I think the floodgate's already been opened. We are seeing despicable, disgusting things in our nation, even in our own county and city. And when you think about it, this is just the beginning of what the Bible predicts is going to happen. Notice here, the kings of the earth and the merchants. So it's going to be from the top all the way down. It's going to be a worldwide thing. And it's already happening all over. Revelation, and this shows this, that the false religion is going to penetrate every facet of life. I want you to think about that for a moment. Businesses, everything, every aspect of our life, this religion is going to be so huge and not honor God, so many people are going to jump on board with this. But you can go from businesses to trade all the way to the palaces. Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. Watch what the Bible says here because God's going to call his own people out of this. Then I heard another voice from heaven say, come out of her, all right, my people. So what's happening is there's going to be believers that will be on this earth. I also think that this is also talking to Israel, saying, Israel, it is time that you become my people now. And right now, there's a lot of Jews that do not believe in Jesus. Okay? They do not believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And at this point, if they're still alive, I promise you they will after they see all this stuff in the book of Revelation. How many of you would say, if we started seeing all this stuff with our very eyes, I think I would follow God really close, all right? Very closely. So what he's going to do is this. I heard another voice from heaven say, come out from her, my people. Come out from that false religion. Get away from it. Get away from that system. So that you will not share in her sins. So that you will not receive any of her plagues. That's very interesting. When you begin to break this down and look at this, this right here gets really interesting because now it says that we all must be very careful to not give our hearts over or our affections over to any religion that is going to be opposite of Jesus Christ, period. And church, when you look at that, the Bible makes it very clear here. Come out and be separate. Don't be a part of a false religion. Don't be a part of false things. Okay? That way you will not share in her sins. Anything that does not honor Jesus Christ and calls itself a religion is false. So if people are involved in that and it does not honor Jesus, they're in open sin, according to the Bible. Now, I've had people get pretty upset with me as a pastor when I've talked about this. And I tell them, listen, you want to know what my job and calling is? It is not to please you. It is not to appease you. It is to tell you the truth. And I pray to God that God will work with your heart, just like he's worked with mine, that you'll turn to God, you'll ask forgiveness of your sins, and you'll follow Jesus. That's what I did. And I watched God's plan just explode from my life. And as you begin to think about this, the church is called to be separate. The church is not to be integrated with anything false on this earth. Nothing. And when you begin to look at it, it is crystal clear. Revelation 18:5. Watch this. This is very interesting. The scripture here. For her sins are piled up to where, church? I want you to see that. Heaven. I want you to get this imagery here. Okay? Tomorrow night, starting at about 10 o'clock, there's going to be 200 meteors per hour that you can watch over southern Missouri. It's going to be pretty awesome. They say the best part is going to be between 12 a.m. and 4 a.m. So I don't know how many people is going to be up for that. But 200 meteors per hour. If you remember the last meteor shower that we had over southern Missouri, we only had an average of 60 to 80 per hour. Okay, and there were a lot. We watched a lot go over. This is going to be quite the show. So what I'm looking at is this, is you're down here on earth and you look up towards the heavens and you see all these meteors tomorrow night shooting across the sky. I want you just to look at that distance right there and go, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine what this verse is saying right here about sin. This verse says that false religion and people that do not honor Jesus, their sins will be piled up to heaven. And watch this, and God has remembered her crimes. God's not going to forget. A lot of people in America go, well, if enough time goes by, God will forget about it and I'll be just fine. No, listen, every baby since Roe versus Wade, even though it was in the 1970s, it doesn't matter. That very first baby that was murdered under the word abortion with Roe versus Wade, when that law got passed, God remembers that. And he remembers every baby that has been murdered in this nation, 3,000 babies every day. He remembers. He remembers what we've done wrong. That's why you have to repent to God. And he's a very faithful God. Judgment is the last thing that God wants to do. Did everybody just hear that? Judgment is the last thing that God wants to do, but people force God's hand. And I want you to think about this. And God has remembered her crimes. You know the great thing about forgiveness? I don't have it on here. I probably should have put some scriptures down underneath that. 1 John 1:9. If you've got a Bible tonight and you've never underlined that scripture, go to 1 John real quick. It's at the very back of your Bible in the New Testament. 1 John 1:9. It says, if you and I confess our sins to him, Jesus, he is faithful and he is just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That is a promise to somebody that turns to God. That is a promise to somebody that says, God, I have done wrong and I need your forgiveness. You know what that tells me? He remembers your sins no more when you repent. What is repentance? It's a military term. If I'm going this way with my sins, repentance says stop. Do an about face and go towards God. Leave your sins behind. That's what that means. It's a military term. So whenever a general or whenever a captain or whenever a drill sergeant is out there with his troops and he gives the order, stop, what do you think the troops are going to do immediately? They're going to stop. Turn around. They're going to turn around. They're going to do exactly what that authority says. Well, it's kind of the same way with God. When we leave our sins behind, we are now following our chief. We're now following our general who has the plan for the whole world. He's got your plan and my plan. That is the great thing about Jesus Christ. And here's the deal. This scripture should scare the world, because here's the deal. If the world does not repent, they will have to deal with God. But if people will individually say, Father, I am very sorry for my life. I give you my life and I will follow you from this day forward. I will follow your word and you have my life and my heart. You have my resources. You have my plans. You have all of me. Let me tell you something. God will forgive somebody just like that. And I have watched God's hand upon my life. I would never, ever revert back to what God brought me out of. Never. Never. You know, the Bible says a couple different times in the Bible, Proverbs and in Peter, it says a dog returns to its vomit. Anybody ever seen that before? A dog pukes and then it goes over and it's like, oh, that looks good a second time, and starts eating. That's sick, all right? I mean, think about that. I mean, literally, and then he wants to come up and lick your face and you're like, you touch me with that tongue, I'm going to throw you across the room, dog, you know? I mean, it's sick. But here's the deal, though. The Bible says, as a dog returns to its vomit, so a man returns to his sin. Now, I want you to think about that. How many of you would say the tug and pull of temptation and sin is very strong in this world today? It is. It's very strong. I'll admit it's very strong in my own life. I have to keep guards up. I've got to make sure that I'm honoring God in all the areas of my life. Because the tug and the pull for all kinds of things is right there. But what Jesus forgave me of, I don't want to return to. I don't want to go back to that, to the guilt, to the regret, to the condemnation. I've been freed from that. Have you been freed from that? That's the freedom of God. So when we look at this here, God does not remember the sins of his people when they repent. There will only be judgment for unrepentance and unrepentant sinners. At church, that's why this is called the grace period today. This grace period will end one day. And when it does, there will be no more chance for salvation. The church is here to share the message of the great love of Jesus Christ, that people would come to him and seek forgiveness and follow him. That day is not going to last forever. That is why it's called the grace period now. That's why it's called undeserving grace and mercy of God. I mean, when you think about that, it's pretty interesting to see God's offer to humanity. Humanity has turned its back on God, and God said, I love humanity enough, even though it's turned its back on God, to give my one and only son for you so you'll come back to me. That's a pretty awesome God right there. That's not a mean God. When you look at it, Revelation chapter 18, verses 6 through 8, let's read this real quick, and then I'm going to show you real fast, because this is interesting here. If a person will honor Jesus, you will reap Jesus' things. If a person does not honor Jesus in this life, you will reap what you sow. And I'll show you that, because the scripture will forecast it. Okay? Just like the weather is forecasting rain all day Saturday and Sunday, all right? The Bible forecasts what's getting ready to happen, except the Bible's right on, as the weatherman's off a lot. All right? And I used to realize that more in school. When I was in school, when we lived up in Pittsburgh was so different than West Plains, because we had first moved to West Plains. I mean, if we had a half inch of snow or just even a little drizzle of anything and roads got slick, school shut down that day. They didn't want to take chances. I hated Pittsburgh because Pittsburgh only had a half hour delay because they had so much equipment. It didn't matter if it snowed 12 inches. We had school within an hour. I hated it. All right. But there were so many times when we moved back to West Plains that the weatherman would go, oh, it's getting ready to dump the snow. It's going to do 6 to 8 inches tonight. No school tomorrow, kids. We would wake up and I'm like, there's nothing on the ground. I got to go to school today. You know, so the forecast that the weatherman gave, he was wrong a lot. Anybody with me on that? Wrong a lot. This forecast that God gives is not wrong. This forecast is right on, and we've got to stay faithful to it. Revelation chapter 18, 6 through 8. give back to her as she has given. What does that mean? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. What is the false church going to do? Fornication, sexual sins, anything goes. Unfaithful to God, anything antichrist, nothing to do with Jesus Christ. So watch this. Because the false church and so many people are going to live like that, she's going to get back what she gave out. Pay her back, watch this, double for what she has done. Mix her a double portion in her own, from her own cup. Give her as much torture and grief as the glory and luxury she gave herself. In her heart, she boasts, I sit as queen, I'm not a widow, and I will never mourn. That's going to be how proud this false religion is going to be. Did you notice what it said that I sit as what? Queen? I don't need God. I'm by myself. And watch this here, very interesting here. Therefore, in one day, her plagues overtake her, death, mourning, and famine. She will be consumed by fire, for mighty is the Lord God who judges her. So there's quite a bit to unpack in those three verses. Watch this. God will put his wrath in her own cup. What does that mean? That means, church, that what we do, we're going to drink right back of it. That's why we honor Jesus. If you honor him and you'll do what's right, you have nothing bad to reap. But church, if we sow bad things, we're going to reap bad things. The Bible is very clear about that. A matter of fact, Revelation 17:4 says, watch this, because we talked about this last week. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet, this prostitute, this false religion, had glittering gold, precious stones and pearls. Watch this. She held a golden cup, or she will hold a golden cup in her hand, filled with the abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. So what's the golden cup? The golden cup represents wealth. So what is this saying here that we just read in Revelation 18, 6 and 8? That she is going to lose everything. She will boast about her wealth that she doesn't need God as her provider. She will boast about her wealth and say, you know what? I'm my own queen. I'm not a widow. I don't need God. And what's interesting is this. She will be self-sufficient, and that's exactly opposite of Jesus. That's what Jesus came to save us from, was ourself. I got myself in trouble a lot. Anybody else? Okay. When I accepted Jesus and I began to read his word and follow what he asked me to do, let me tell you something. My troubles dropped to the floor. I saw a huge difference in my life. And what's interesting is this. Her wealth, even though she will boast, this false church is going to have so much wealth. The kings, remember, what did it say? Kings and merchants will be tied with her. So you talk about a money and a wealth flow. She's going to boast that she has it all, but God's going to take every bit of it away. What's the principle here? What you sow, you will reap. Man, if I can get anything across to all of us tonight, what we sow, we will reap. So if you sow good things, you're going to reap great things from God. Everybody with me on that? It's not a hard principle to understand, but it sure is hard to live out sometimes. And here's the deal. Again, people say, well, God's a mean God. No, God's a very just God. If she is going to do, if this false church that is coming is going to do what the Bible predicts, and she will, it's going to be bloody. It's going to be sick. It's going to be disgusting. There's going to be so much wicked and evilness go on and tolerated. So we go back to the Old Testament, Exodus 21:24. Watch what God put into effect. He says, listen, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a hand for a hand, and a foot for a foot. Okay? That was retaliation back then. Listen, if you're going to go ahead and cut somebody's hand off, your hand's going to get cut off. If you go ahead and pluck somebody's eyeball out, your eyeball's going to get plucked out. Is everybody with me on that? That was the Old Testament there. That literally was like, listen, retaliation 101. But watch this. People will look at this here. It's going to be implemented by God. Romans chapter 12 tells us that. Matter of fact, let me read this to you here. Romans chapter 12, 17 through 21. Watch what the Bible says about retaliation, that it's not our job, but it's God's. Watch this. It doesn't mean that we let evil go on. Let me draw a line here. So many people take this set of scriptures and go, well, if somebody comes up and tries to kill your family, it is not your job to protect your family. You just step back and let God jump in on that. Listen, God's given me a brain. God's given me strength. If I'm the man in my house and somebody tries to hurt my family, they're going to be hurting really bad from this guy right here. Is anybody with me? This does not mean that you are a coward or that you just let evil do what evil wants to do. Thank God for our military and our law enforcement. Is anybody with me? Okay. People have preached these scriptures right here and said there is no need for any human to ever stop evil. That is not what this is saying here. What this is saying, watch this here. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, did anybody see that word there, that phrase? If possible, all right? If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. If possible. You know why that's in there? Because God knows that wickedness and evil has to be stopped now as well. It says, if possible, if a situation doesn't have to escalate or go bad, if possible, if you can work it out and get it worked out without violence or whatever it may be, try to do that. But there are some cases where you have to protect. And watch what it says here, very interesting. It says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, and I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Anybody ever have anybody talk bad about you at work? Anybody? All right, some of you have. You know what they're wanting to do? They're wanting you to react. They're spreading lies. Matter of fact, Caitlin just told me this morning about a rumor that is going around about her from a young man. And to be honest with you, I wanted to find that young man to punch his teeth out this morning. I thought, that what you're spreading about my daughter, if I ever see you, you're mine, man. But you know what? You know what I told Caitlin? The truth will come out. Don't worry about it. If we've got to confront it, we'll confront it. But what's interesting is this, though, when you begin to look at this, when people are going to make rumors up about you or they're going to attack you, what are they wanting to do? They want to get a rise out of you so that you'll be the one that gets caught being violent, being hateful. You want to know what makes them burn? I mean, and what gets your enemy is that you don't react the way they want you to. That is a hard thing to do. Is anybody with me on that? I mean, man, if I had a law enforcement badge for everything that I could do, oh, that'd be great. I'm telling you, I'd love it. All right? Especially as a pastor. But there are so many times I just got to keep my mouth zipped and say, you know what? I'm not going to react the way you want me to. So I'm going to let you burn tonight because you didn't get the reaction you wanted to out of me. You're going to go home and you're not going to get any sleep because you're going to be angry that I didn't react the way you wanted me to. Anybody with me on that? But that is hard to do. I mean, especially like me, I'm a type A personality. If somebody shocks me or surprises me or catches me off guard, it takes me a moment for me to get back and go, okay, wait a minute, what did you just say or do? I mean, I just like, you know, whatever. And we need to know who we are, okay? We need to know our personalities because I understand. I have a very short fuse. I know my personality, and God has had to do a huge work in my life on not reacting, but instead taking a moment and taking a deep breath and going, okay, I see that you just meant that for harm, but I'm not going to give in to that. Okay, I know me very well. So God's had to do a huge work in my life in that area. But when you begin to look at this, watch what the Bible says here. If you want to heap burning coals on your enemy's head, don't react the way they want you to. Oh, it'll make them angry. It'll make them even more angry. But watch this. Do not be overcome by what, church? What does it say? Evil. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know what that tells me right there? If you have got to stop evil, you stop evil. Don't sit back and let evil or wickedness hurt somebody. But if you can, if all possible, live in peace. Try to live peaceably, the Bible says. God will have your back. And that's what this verse is saying here. God is literally going to have the back of his believers. He will not let any wickedness or evil slide through. Okay, how many of you guys have had somebody that has done something wrong? We're going to pick this up pretty quick here. It'll go quick. How many of you have had somebody do something wrong and it's almost like they got away with it? Oh, that it almost burns you, doesn't it? But guess what? They didn't get away with it because somebody saw it, and that's God. And the Bible says, we just read it, God remembers. Okay, he doesn't forget. So when you think about that, that ought to give us some peace tonight. Because when you live for Jesus, he does have your back. He does watch over you. So watch this. Double. We read the word double in there. It's going to be double the word, you know, double bad for them. It just means overflowing to fit the crime. What it means is you're not just going to reap what you've sown. You are going to get double reaping back. And it will not be a good thing for this false church. The sowing and the reaping here, let me give you an example real quick. The cup of wickedness from which many will drink. This false church is rising up, is going to offer to this world everything goes. The world is going to love it. And watch what the Bible says. Revelation chapter 14, verse 8. Watch what the Bible says here, and I'll just give you, this is what this false church is going to sow, but I'll show you what they're going to reap. So watch this. A second angel followed and said, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great, which made all the nations drink the maddening wine of her adulteries." Okay? So that's what she's going to sow. She's going to sow these adulteries. Watch this. Revelation 17, 2, 4, and 6. Watch what it says right here. "With her, the kings of the earth will commit adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth will be intoxicated with her adulteries." So this is what she's going to offer. This is what she's going to sow to the earth. Watch verse 4. "The woman," or the prostitute, "was dressed in purple and scarlet, glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand." What was that? It was filled with the abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. That's what she's going to sow. Verse 6, watch this. "I saw that the woman," the prostitute, "was drunk with the blood," and I want you to see this, "was drunk with the blood of the believers." Okay? If you have a true church and the true church is honoring Jesus, how do you think a false church is going to react to that, or a false religion? Did you know this morning in Belgium, I don't know if anybody saw, Belgium, there is a head imam for Islam over in Belgium. His son just pronounced on video this morning to all of Islam, "Kill every Christian that claims to be a Christian." Did anybody see the video this morning? Yeah, it was an announcement from an imam's son. And the imam is literally the head of Islam in that territory or area. So that was a declaration this morning for all Christians to be slaughtered by Islam or by Muslim. So when you look at this here, I mean, we're hearing these threats already, but this false church is actually going to do it. What is she going to sow? She is going to kill those people who have a testimony to Jesus. And it says, "When I saw her, I was greatly astonished." What is John saying? Unbelievable what I saw in this vision on how this false religion is going to go after Christians. Now, I just gave you four examples of what this false religion is going to sow. Let me show you what it's going to reap, because false things don't stand forever, right? Revelation chapter 14, verse 10, watch this. What is she going to reap? "He too will drink of the wine of God's fury, which has been poured out in full strength into the cup of his wrath," talking about the Antichrist, okay? "He will be tormented with burning sulfur in the presence of holy angels and of the Lamb Jesus." So that's showing right there that you're not going to get away with evil. I mean, Satan should know this, but Satan keeps pushing the buttons. Revelation chapter 16, verse 19. Watch what the Bible says here. "The great city split into three parts, and the cities of the nations collapsed. God remembered Babylon the Great and gave her the cup filled with the fury of his wrath." So, again, I'm just trying to show some examples here. As our world screams out peace and prosperity and tolerance, we better be very careful to not make any ties with anybody but Jesus Christ. Because the Bible's crystal clear. If you don't honor God, then you're a recipient of his judgment and his wrath. And that is the very last thing that he wants to happen. He offers salvation. So, let's kick this into fifth gear real quick. She says, "I'm not a widow," so that means she's going to be proud, boastful, and self-sufficient. False. But watch this. It also said her plagues. What is going to be the judgment that comes upon the false religion? Well, it says death, mourning, and famine. Revelation chapter 18, 10, 17, and 19. Let's look at these scriptures real quick. Terrified at her torment, they will stand far off and they will cry, "Woe, woe, O great city, O Babylon, city of power. In 1 hour your doom has come." It is not going to last. When God will pour out his wrath upon the false church and all the wicked people, it is going to be swift, it is going to be quick, and it is going to be to the point. In 1 hour, such great wealth has been brought to ruin. Every sea captain and all who travel by ship, the sailors and all who earn their living from the sea will stand far off. And then watch this next verse. They will throw dust on their heads, and with weeping and mourning they'll cry out, "Woe, woe, woe, great city, where all who had the ships on the sea became rich through her wealth. In 1 hour she has been brought to ruin." So what I'm showing you here is this: whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And the Bible is showing us what's going to happen in the future. Church, I beg you, with everything that I've got as a pastor and as a Christian, don't give in to anything false. Because the only reaping that you will be of God's judgment. I mean, when you think about this, does this get any more crystal clear tonight? It is crystal clear that God wants us to follow him. Number two, real quick. They will mourn not because of their sins, but because of her destruction. I found this very interesting. Here's the deal. You ought to have a heart inside of you that if you do something wrong towards God, that conviction pricks your heart to make you turn to God and say, "Father, I'm very sorry for what I just did. I know I should not be a part of that." Everybody follow me on that? Instead, the future of this world will not be like that. The future of this world will not be crying and mourning because of the sins that they've done wrong. They will be crying and mourning because their place of pleasure, their place and their source of power and abominations and adulteries will be destroyed. They will have no central hub or no throne area to come to say, "Oh, this is the evil stuff that we love." It's going to be destroyed by God. God's going to put an end to it. So when we look at this, Revelation 18, 9, and 11, again, watch what the kings and merchants will do. When the kings of the earth who committed adultery with her and shared in her luxury saw the smoke of her burning, God is going to utterly destroy this false religion and all the cities and places they're going to be in. They will weep and they will mourn over her. Okay, the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore. I mean, here's the deal. It's just like in our hearts and lives. If we have a sin problem and it's coming out physically, you want to know where it starts? In the heart. You got to go to the source. That's what God's going to do here. God is going to annihilate the source of the evil and the wickedness. And watch this, very interesting enough. Weep, and I was looking this up here. Weep means to sob openly. Can you get a picture worldwide of what I'm trying to show here? This is what they're going to do. The kings and all the merchants, they're going to be a part of such evil things against God that when God pours out his wrath, and he will, when that happens, they will have nothing left. Because they based everything on all their earthly gains and all their sin. When it's all gone, the Bible says they will weep. When I looked up the word weep, it means to sob openly. All over this world, nationwide, you will have from kings all the way down to the traders and merchants weeping and sobbing openly because they lost their place of pleasure and they lost their place of power. They did not honor God. Now, church, I want you to think about that. What's going to bring a dictator and a king down to his knees? God. You know, it's interesting. Jesus says, "Listen, if you'll bow your heart down to me now, if you will bow down to me now, and you'll bow your heart, and you'll give me your heart and your mind and your life now, you won't have to do it later." But he will force these people. He will put them on their knees because of their sins. And how many of you would say it would be a very smart thing for a human being to take God's grace offer right now? I mean, honestly, it would. And when you look at this here, Revelation chapter 18, 12, and 13, everything of value and worth will be gone. Watch this. This is why they'll be going crazy. It says cargoes, gold, silver, precious stones, pearls. Anybody get the idea here of what their whole lives will be about? It has nothing to do with God. They've wrapped their whole lives around material things. Cargoes of gold, so basically they're worshiping these things. Cargoes of gold, silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple silk and scarlet cloth, every sort of citron wood, the articles of every kind of ivory, costly wood, bronze, iron, marble. Watch verse 13 here. Cargoes of cinnamon and spice. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about everything monetary with money. Then it moves into everything of food. And then it moves into everything of even cattle and sheep and horses. And then watch this. What's the very last line that you read right there? This is the one that caught my attention this week when I was studying. It says, not just the loss of all of that, but also the loss of bodies. And what does it say there, church? Souls of men. This one right here caught my attention. It is not just going to be material things that all these people will lose. They will lose their very soul. If there's a prophecy in the Bible that gives a forecast that says that men should honor God with everything they've got today, that right there ought to wake us up. Men will lose their bodies. They will also lose their souls. And church, when you look at that, I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. Everything we do is to honor God. You know, the Bible is very clear. He says, listen, you're going to make money. I want you to give a certain amount back to me to show me that you love me and support my church. And you know what? People have a very hard time with that. And I've got to honestly say, I wonder if salvation really occurs. Because if we can't do what God asks us to do with even our money or even our talents, how in the world are we going to stand up for him in persecution? Is anybody with me? I mean, when you look at this here, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, watch what the Bible says here. And it says, lay up treasures in heaven. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust destroys or where thieves can break in and steal. For where your treasure is, watch this, there your heart will be also. You know, very interesting here. That is probably one of the scariest scriptures I can read in the Bible that we just read in Revelation. There will be everybody that follows this non-God stuff will lose their bodies and they'll lose their souls. I mean, church, that is a wake-up call. And when you look at this here, it's very interesting because fruit is sweet. Anybody like fruit? Okay, I love fruit, strawberries, I love cherries, I love bananas, watermelon is a big thing I love during the summertime. Why is that? Because it's a sweet spot. Okay, fruit, is if it's ripe and it's good, it hits the spot, it's the sweet spot. Watch what the Bible says about their sweet spot. It's going to be gone. They'll have nothing. It's going to be very bitter. Revelation chapter 18, 14, and 15. Watch what the Bible says here. They will say, the fruit you long for is gone from you. So the sweet spot with all your riches and your splendor and everything that you will wrap your life around, it will be gone in a moment, never to be recovered. And watch verse 15. The merchants who sold these things and gained their wealth from her will stand far off, terrified at her torment. They will weep and they will mourn. And when you begin to look at this here, it just makes me step back tonight to go, God, I don't know when all this is coming. We can see some of the signs starting to develop now. But God, you say that the time is near. Jesus, and we'll hit this in a couple weeks. Jesus said this. He said, I am coming and I'm coming back soon. Church, I take those words very literal. If he opens up chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, and he says, hey, the time is near. And then in Revelation 22, he ends the book by saying, I'm coming back very soon. I think we better pay very close attention to that. And when you look at this here, it's interesting because Revelation 18, 16, watch what it says right here. It says that she will have everything material. She'll be proud, boastful. This false religion will not need God and be self-sufficient. But watch this. They'll cry out, woe, woe, O great city, dressed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. But what's going to be interesting is all that's going to be gone. So she's going to be laid bare. This unfaithful religion that is so anti-God will be laid bare in front of the whole world. All the clothing, material, riches, everything will be stripped from her, gone. And it's almost like the imagery of what a prostitute goes through. I want you to think about this. You can have a beautiful, beautiful young girl grow up in a home. Things can go wrong. And then the young girl goes, you know what? Life has been so bitter towards me. So I'm going to go out and I'm going to go sell myself. Well, what do you think happens to that young lady? I mean, church, honestly, she's used, she's abused. And by the time, whatever the run is that she has done, there will be nothing left of her. Nothing. You know, it's interesting. When you look at that, the Bible says, don't be unfaithful like a prostitute. Don't be unfaithful to God. And it says, don't let the church become that. Let the church stay faithful to God, the Bible says. Revelation 18:17, real quick. We read about this here earlier. It talks about the shipmaster. It says, every sea captain and all travel by ship, it'll all be done. I want you to think about this. Okay? Anybody go to the beach this summer? Or last summer? Or anytime soon? When you're at the beach, you can see all the big cargo ships out in the ocean. And I'm going to tell you something. The trade on ships is huge. If you go to San Francisco, San Diego, if you go to these big ports everywhere, there are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cargo containers. All of those are shipped through the ocean, literally from food to you name it, cars, everything we need. It's all shipped through ships, all right? And when you think about that, it'll all be destroyed and stopped. I mean, you're talking major worldwide stuff here. Revelation 18:18. Watch this. They still will not repent. I mean, when you look at this here, verse 18 says this, and again, you get a picture here. When they see the smoke of her burning, they will exclaim, was there ever a city like this, great city? I mean, you know what this shows me here? If I saw something like this, I would fall down on my face before God and say, God, please forgive me for being a part of such evil. What do they do? They're going to say, she was so great. They're still not going to turn to God. And what I want to show you is this. Guard your heart. Because people's hearts during this time are going to be so far gone. I'm talking gone. For them to watch total destruction, and then for them to be upset, not at their sin that they were against God, but because their place of pleasure is gone. That's pretty scary to me on people's hearts. Revelation 18:19, real quick. They threw dust on their heads. You go, what's the big deal about this? They're going to have a form of religion. Okay? It's going to be interesting because, again, they're showing a sign of grief, but it's not towards their sin towards God. It's because their place of pleasure has been destroyed. But what I wanted to show you through this is this. They will know. They'll have a form of religion and of the Bible, but they won't honor it. You go, well, how do we know that? Well, look at Joshua chapter 6, verse 7. We know Joshua loved Jesus. We know Joshua loved God. Then Joshua tore his clothes, fell face down on the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there until evening. The elders came. They sprinkled dust on their heads. This is what they used to do in the Old and New Testament, in a sign of repentance or a sign of grief, but they would do that towards God. These people in Revelation will not do that. They will take the symbolic of it and they'll have the religion, but they won't honor God with it. That's all I'm trying to show you. Because everybody thinks that religion's just going to go out. It's going to be the biggest thing in this picture. And we got to guard our hearts. Job chapter 2, verse 12. When Job lost everything, watch what Job does. I mean, Job lost it all. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. They began to weep aloud, and they tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. They were doing that as a sign of saying, God, why did this happen to him? I mean, when you begin to think about it, it is really scary that people can say, oh, we love God, and they don't honor Jesus whatsoever. Anybody with me on that? That is a scary mix right there. All right, let's wrap this up real quick tonight. Revelation chapter 18, verse 20. Watch this. This is where it takes a turn, and I'm going to show you why. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Now, wait a minute. I thought everything will be destroyed and destruction will happen, right? So why is heaven rejoicing? Isn't that kind of mean for God in heaven to say, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to destroy all evil and literally, utterly destroy all these humans, these wicked people. it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me until you start to read why they rejoice. Rejoice over her, O heaven. Rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way that she has treated you. You go, what's that about? There's going to be an all-out war in Christianity. It is already happening. Last year, 2015, we watched multiple court cases because Christian business owners did not want to entertain sin. And when they stood up to entertain sin, they got sued over it. It's already happening. And Christianity is about to really see this come big time. And when you look at it, the heavens are finally going to rejoice because God will get his vengeance. And God will say, listen, I've taken care of all the evil that has been done to you. I mean, when you look at it here, Revelation 18:21, the Bible says this. Then a mighty angel picked up a boulder the size of a large millstone and threw it into the sea and said with such violence, the great city or that prostitute or false church will be thrown down and never to be found again. God will totally wipe out the evil system. He will totally wipe out the Antichrist. He will totally wipe out the false church. And church, he will have total victory. That is why it is a very smart thing as a human being to be on God's side and not fight against God right now. Anybody with me? Why would you want to fight against God? I mean, it makes no sense to me. But this is what's going to happen here. Verses 22 through 24. Watch what's going to happen. Total destruction. I mean, when you talk about, how many of you go home tonight, or maybe on your way home, you turn on the radio, you're singing along with whatever song is on there. You go home, you turn it on, you're singing. How many of you love music? Let me see your hand. You love music. Music's awesome. Music will do something to you when you're down in the dumps. Music will bring you up, man. But watch this. There'll be such total destruction. No celebration will be going on this earth. It'll only be in heaven. Watch what it says. The music of the harpists and the musicians, the flute players and the trumpeters will never be heard in you again. God will destroy all the celebration of sin. That's what it's saying. There'll be no celebration of sin anymore. No workman of any trade will ever be found in you again. The sound of the millstone. This is what I thought was it. The sound of the millstone will never be heard in you again. You know what the sound or the grind of the millstone was? It was preparing food. You know what it's saying? You are utterly destroyed. There will be nothing left of you. Now, church, we ought to rejoice in this because we are not fighting against God. You are actually on God's side if you have given your life to him. And you're a child of God. And if you're on God's side, you are not going to be a recipient of this. That ought to bring you peace tonight. If you've not made a decision like that, I would urge you to do it quickly and follow the Lord Jesus Christ every day. Because the only outcome of someone that doesn't follow Christ is going to be judgment, period. There's no other way out of it. And Jesus took our judgment. Does everybody understand that tonight? He took our judgment on the cross so that you wouldn't have to face judgment. Thank God for Jesus Christ. No more music, weddings, or celebrations. It will be all over. And I wanted to do this in closing tonight at the end. I have had so many people ask me, even in our church, why are you going through the book of Revelation? Well, number one, because the Bible, we need to understand the Bible and what it says. Number two, there is going to be an all-out attack on Christianity. Church, why will God dump his wrath out and judgment on this earth? Let me show you in our final scriptures. I want you to get a clear picture. And if somebody says that God is unfair after these scriptures, I don't know what to tell you, because honestly, if somebody were to mess with my children, they would get the full wrath of this father. Anybody? Would you not do that for your own children? I mean, I've had people tell me, no, I'm a Christian. Well, so am I. But if somebody tries to hurt my kids, somebody's in trouble. Watch why God's going to pour his wrath and his fury out on this earth. Revelation 6:10, we're almost done. Watch this here. Now you can see why God's going to do what he's going to do. They called out in a loud voice, and these are the believers that are going to be killed. okay, by this false religion and Antichrist. How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth, and what does it say there, and you avenge our blood? There are going to be believers in heaven that will be martyred for Jesus, and God is going to avenge their blood for them. Is there anything wrong with that? Absolutely not. God is a good God, and God is a just God. Watch Revelation chapter 11, verse 7. I'm just going to paint this picture for you on why God has to pour out his wrath. Now, when they have finished their testimony, the Antichrist that comes up from the abyss will attack them and overpower them and kill them. There will be an all-out attack on Christianity. Revelation 13, 7. He was given power to make war against who? The believers, the saints, and to conquer them. And he was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. He's going to have all-out war against Christians. Revelation 13, 15. He was given power to give the breath to the image of the Antichrist so that it could speak and cause all who refuse to worship the image to be killed. Listen, right here is where the rubber meets the road. Either we're going to follow Jesus or we're going to follow what the world's going to do. And this is the same pattern. Revelation 17, 6. Watch what the Bible says here. I saw that the prostitute, the woman that we read about tonight, that false religion, was drunk with the blood of the believers, the blood of those who bore the testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. How could anything ever happen like that? And next week, we'll jump into chapter 19. Watch what Revelation 19:2 says. I'll give you a little forecast. Revelation 19:2, here's what it says. We got that one down? Is that back there? For true and just are his judgments. I want you to read that. God's not a mean God. Okay? People say God's a mean God and all he does is judge. No. What does the Bible say? True and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who will be unfaithful to him, who corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And church, right now in Sudan, does anybody get Voice of the Martyrs? I'll close with this. Anybody get Voice of the Martyrs? You need to sign up for Voice of the Martyrs. Voice of the Martyrs. Go online and sign up. It's called Voice of the Martyrs. They send out a monthly newsletter type of thing. There are around 250,000 Christians, maybe upwards of 365,000 Christians, depends on the year, that are killed for being Christians around the world. These are real testimonies of these believers. And if we don't think that it's happening, we just had a worldwide threat today from an imam's son. And if we don't think that's a credible threat, let me tell you something, church. With the internet right now, you don't know where anything can hit in a moment just like that. Technology will spread this evil just like that. So, thank you for being here tonight with us. Thank you for going through the book of Revelation. And I hope that you see tonight, God is not a mean God. God is a great God, and he will only do his judgment because wickedness and sin and evil will not stop. And if somebody will turn and say, God, I need you in my life. You are my Lord and Savior. I will follow you every day, and I'll follow your word. I repent of my life, and I follow you now. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Church, that is the greatest gift that's offered to humanity. And you will not be a part of God's judgment. So, man, what a great gift salvation is. Is anybody with me on that? It is a great gift. Can we just give God a huge hand tonight, and then we'll end like that? So, as I always do, if you've got some questions, I'll open it up afterwards. You can come up and talk to me. I do not know all the answers. I promise you that. I've been learning just like you have through this book. But I really feel like God has graced us at this church for the book of Revelation. I truly do. This has been, out of 20 years of full-time ministry, this has been not only the funnest teaching that I've done, but it's been the biggest teaching that's ever stretched me. And my faith, I feel like my faith is solid as a rock through this book. especially knowing how powerful God is. Anybody with me on that? He's powerful. So anyways, Father, we love you. We thank you today. Thank you for this church, and thank you for everybody that is here tonight. I pray tonight that, God, if there's anyone here that has not been serving you or that is away from you, that, God, they would make the decision to come to you tonight. Jesus, you offer your grace and your forgiveness. What a special gift salvation is. I pray that, God, every person in here would know and have the peace of God. We would follow you. We would be faithful to you. And we do not have to worry about being a part of your judgment because you have saved us. We thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thanks for being here tonight, gang. Sunday morning, we're going to be doing Scars again. It's going to be really good. Last Sunday was awesome. So this Sunday, we'll continue our Sunday morning series on Scars. It'll be really good. Thank you for being here and God bless.